Hello, everyone, and welcome to Thursday Live Lesson with myself, Altri Guerrero. This is Aaron, the voice, Nakamura. Say, what's up, Aaron?
What's up?
With Kahai, the legend, Fergan. Say, what's up, Kahai?
What's up?
So, today is the day before we leave for the Summer Youth Fest over in San Francisco, so we're super excited. But you know what? First things first, it's Thursday Live Lessons. What we do here is we answer any and all of your questions, whether it be via Ukulele Underground Plus, via email, via whatever it may be. We'll answer them as best as possible. I'll give you my answer. These two guys will pop in with their 2 cents. We'll create a mega super Voltron answer just for you. And yeah, it's good fun usually. So, Kahai, let's not waste any more time. Give us our first question.
We didn't have questions this week, but we had like 2 student reviews. So one was like an email sent to me, and then one was a student review actually posted in the U Plus forum. So I guess we can do that.
Okay. Yeah. So the first one that I'm gonna do is the one that was sent over to us. So he did a student review before. I forgot what that last James. One was. James, I mean, what was the last thing that he asked for? Do you remember?
He was just holding chords, yeah. And he was asking for any advice or suggestions on
Okay. So this time he was he wanted me to kind of critique his parallel octaves. His parallel octaves looks pretty good actually. He's doing this version of the parallel octaves where, you know, his middle finger is muting the G, ring finger is muting the E, pointer finger is on the C string, and pinky finger is on the A string.
Kind of just octave difference.
Yeah,
the
octave
notes.
Difference of these two notes right here. So if you mute these two, that means you can actually use strumming techniques, for this, and you can get kind of like a single note kind of sound almost, but it's actually just
but it's octaves.
Like, an octave of that one note. So for example, if I were to do like "Mary Had a Little Lamb." So it's kind of cool because you can incorporate those, you know, those strumming techniques and stuff, like how I did with the roll. You know, you can add all that really cool percussive stuff that you do with strumming, but then have those melody lines really come out without any background notes or chords getting in the way. You know, so you still have the, you're just doubling that up. And then this kind of this percussive thing that goes behind it kind of adds a little bit of space for it, because if you're just doing, sounds kind of empty, so you're adding to that space by adding some percussion, but not necessarily adding more notes. So you're not introducing any notes into the thing. So back to how he was doing it. So that's how I do it. I do it like this with my pointer finger muting the E string as well, and my middle finger muting the G string, pinky finger here. And I'm not saying that this is, you know, this is the wrong way or whatever, but this is definitely the harder way, because what you're doing, I definitely saw his pointer finger at this, you know, we call it like a rainbow or what is it called, like a what do they call it for Songs Made Easy? I used to call it something, the arch. Yeah, like a little arch and stuff right here. And if you have that, you know, that arch there, and you're only kind of playing the all your four fingers are occupying those four strings, I feel that it's a little bit difficult because you have to have them all on, because if it's not on correctly, like for example, if you have this ring finger just a little bit,
you might catch that E string,
and that's kind of what I was hearing, you know, a little bit of. I mean, he's got it down, you know, you're doing a really good job, you know, like first off, you're doing a really good job, it's coming along nicely. But those are some things that you might want to watch out for, because I heard just a little bit of it. So but I think the more you do it, the better you'll get at it anyway.
It looks like
I'm not gonna tell you that, oh, you gotta do it like this, because it's whatever, it's really like it's personal preference, and I'm not about to tell Chris Salvador that he's doing it right, because that's how he does his.
Yeah. So what are you doing instead?
I'm muting the E string with my pointer finger.
So you're kind of collapsing the arch.
Yeah, I'm collapsing the arch, and that's
which is improper technique in every other case except for this one, right?
Well, the reason why is because if I have it arched up like this, You see my my wrist kind of going doing a little bit of this to get the arch. But for me, if I kind of lay this down straight, I can it straightens my wrist. That's one of the only things that for me too. It just kind of feels a little bit more comfortable. It seems like I'm just using these three because I'm used to using three fingers to do chords. You know, I would do like a G with an extension or something. I would do this, and this would usually kind of float anyway. So just something that I'm used to, you know. So for this, you know, for this kind of chord, it just feels almost the same way as this would feel. I just have my middle finger up on the G string instead of like, you know, on the E string like so.
Yeah. And the problem that I've always had was because you're pressing down like your regular pressure with two of the fingers.
Yeah.
And then two of the other two fingers are like just barely pressing down. So it's like kind of having a difference in pressure between two of your fingers and then the other are actual pressure. And so like I always have a hard time muting. Yeah. Muting some strings but then not muting others. And so I guess with the way that you were showing it where you're just kind of like collapsing the pointer finger arch. It does double duty by
just relaxing it.
Yeah, muting the E string. And so it's basically you're just like holding your two notes and then just kind of concentrating and making sure that your middle finger is not is just muting, not pressing down.
Because you can still kind of straighten it out, you know, like by using that other technique and stuff. But it's definitely not as straight as that.
Yeah, you know? just the...
But I guess if you're kind of doing it this way, you can lower your elbow, but that doesn't make sense. I mean, but... You know, like it's really different strokes for you know. So
if you can conceptualize it easier either way, that's
that's what's good for you. Other than that, I mean, it's coming along nicely. You know, I think you're doing a great job. Just you know, do it a little bit more, and I think to add to that, if you want to make it even better, is to add those right hand techniques because right now he's you know he's kind of just getting it down, just doing.
He was doing
the
exercise from.
Yeah,
102, that's why. So he wasn't really playing anything. He was playing that specific exercise.
So try to experiment, you know, at this point with just like how I did with some, like, you know, some rolls. Maybe add some chunks in there instead of just doing a... You can do a... kind of experiment with it and get familiar with the technique because right now it seems like you just learned it, so there's that kind of awkward phase where you're just like not sure of it yet, but I think it'll eventually get there. Sooner than later, to be honest.
Looks like he's well on his way. Do you usually when you do that technique, is it usually just kind of like short hits, or do you ever let it ring out?
You do sometimes, you know. Sometimes you do, like for example, in Bandido Tyler, like I'll let that kind of ring out.
So
you know?
That was like a slide.
Yeah.
Even.
How's it go?
Your song.
Yeah. So
yeah.
Like,
so the
just
first
depends,
one was
yeah.
short. So you're kind of just like pushing down really quickly and letting go.
Yeah.
And then the second one, you kind of slid down to make it ring out for a little longer.
Yeah, I mean...
So you can play around with that too, like...
How short and how long you can hold each one.
Because really you would only... a lot of times you're just pressing down really quickly, just making sure that you're doing
that. I mean, you can take some like basic stuff, like how I did with like Mary Had a Little Lamb, with anything, you know, like some basic maybe even like Happy Birthday or whatever, and try to do it you know, using that technique. You know, like just kind of experiment with it. Really, really easy, you know, easy melody lines, but try to do it with, you know, with that.
It makes it 10 times harder, but like, if you can do that, you can pretty much do whatever else that you want to do.
So keep at it. You're doing great. You're good. Okay, so the next one is sent to us by Mark and his wife. And His wife surprised him with a birthday present of playing How Can I Get Over for his birthday. She learned that Pure Heart song, How Can I Get Over. She knew that, like, you know, it was one of Mark's, like, favorite songs. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm going to learn this from my husband. I'm like, take some notes, Heather. God, take some notes. Okay. Okay. So she, you know, she played the ukulele. She sang and stuff. And she's basically asking us if we have any advice on singing and playing at the same time. Because I think she did great. I think she did great with the song. She kept the rhythm really nice and steady. You know, she's not trying to do any fancy strums. I think she just kind of did one of those. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, it's awesome. It's great. I think that's one of step one into singing and stuff is just to kind of know the song. And when you're playing with it, like, keep it nice and simple, because the singing is really what's important in that, you know, in that part, at least in that part of the song. You're singing, you're keeping it, you know, keeping it a nice tempo. That means your singing will be in a good tempo, because if you're all over the place and your singing has to also be all over the place, I'm guilty of this all the time. I'm actually not the person to ask for singing like advice and stuff, because I tend to not sing in time, and I already don't play. I don't strum in time, so I also have a problem with singing on time. So it's like a constant struggle between my hands and my voice and stuff. Somehow I've managed for the past, like, you know, like, two decades of playing music all over the place and stuff, but no one's complained so far except for me. So I'm just gonna keep riding it. You know what? I'm just gonna keep riding it. But that's honestly my advice. I mean, you got good rhythm. Good rhythm is like an important thing to to having. To not even worrying about this ukulele part, because singing and playing at the same time, you know, you're worrying about two different things. If you're keeping this nice and steady and just nice and simple, that's one less thing you have to worry about, and just kind of focus on your voice. How about you? What's your advice? Mm-hmm. You are Aaron the voice, after all. So.
It's usually just getting it to the point where you don't have to think about your playing as much, and then you can focus on singing. For me, it's kind of like, you just gotta remember that because the vocals have a rhythm, and then your strumming is a separate rhythm, but they link up on certain beats. So as long as you kind of keep in mind that on this beat it has to be, you're gonna sing and strum at the same time, or this word or this syllable, it's gonna be on, make sure that it links up, and then the rest, you know, as long as those essential ones are on, the rest can be kind of freeform. But as long as the ones that are on at the same time then you're fine. So that's the only thing.
Like, yeah,
you
know, I mean,
you're usually fine, but except for those ones where it's supposed to be at the right time, at the same time, and it's not.
Mariah carrying it. That's fine. You are
jazzing it up.
I just watched a video about, like, how the reason why people don't like lip syncs, you know, or people using backing tracks and stuff, is because there's like a dissonance between what the person is actually playing and what they're hearing. So since they can differentiate the difference, they're like, oh, that's terrible. But something that blew my mind was, did you know that, like, the Whitney Houston, like, halftime, like, you know, like,
when she lip synced it?
Yeah, that's lip sync.
Oh, but she was probably also actually singing, but like, they were using a track.
They used a pre-recorded track.
But she was probably singing it.
Because they couldn't, like, actually do, like, get her mic, like, on the Super Bowl, right?
With everything else going on at the same time.
I mean, like, that's pretty normal, though, I think, right? But, like, I think there was that one year where, like, Red Hot Chili Peppers and stuff, they weren't plugged in. People were like, hey, wait a minute.
But it's like, it's crazy, right? Because that's, like, regarded as, like, a super, it's like, oh my gosh, that's an amazing performance, and she killed it at singing, but it's like, she's singing, but she's not, you know, that's not really what you're hearing.
Well, even for a lot of our play-alongs, too,
Yeah.
You're
all the play alongs.
Yeah, not all the
live stuff. Yeah.
But some of the pre-recorded ones where we go out and we're filming by a beach sometimes. Yeah.
I'm still singing.
You're playing along to your pre-recorded track.
Yeah.
But you're still actually vocalizing. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, you know, you're singing the notes.
Just to have the same expressions, have the same breath control, to make it look as natural as possible.
Yeah. And then sometimes I shift it over, cut out stuff when you don't.
No one's perfect. So Priya, you're all good. Don't worry.
Yeah.
That kind of just shows like you really do just gotta like get it to look good enough. Look mm-hmm. like, it's mm-hmm. like oh
yeah, man, fake
she
it till you
is,
make it, buddy.
She actually is singing.
Yeah. Like, well, like you know, at that point in time too, you can't really say that Whitney Houston can't sing.
Yeah.
You know,
that's true. That's true. That's true. She could, like, you know,
she sing the pants off of most, you know, everybody, anybody critiquing her. So
it's like, oh, well, why don't you sing a not at the Super Bowl? It's like, yeah, sure, I can do that too. I can do that wherever.
In any other situation.
So I know people have been getting like criticized and stuff, but yeah, that's been kind of normal for a long time. Has it just been recently that they've been kind of letting them sing like normal?
Maybe.
I don't know. I think maybe just because
depending
of the internet catches those
things.
Oh,
maybe.
Things.
Yeah,
you know,
the
internet sees everything, so
and
people get called out. Mm, so people are trying to do more.
Yeah. I mean, Bruno Mars, I'm pretty sure he did it live, right? Because that was the most recent one.
Yeah.
No. He was the most recent one, was it?
Maroon 5 was.
That's right. I heard he hated that. I didn't see it. I heard people hated it. Yeah.
The video that I watched, I thought the funny thing that they showed was they showed Ed Sheeran doing like looping and how so many people on the internet are like, oh, I hate this. This isn't live performance and stuff. But then he showed James Taylor doing like almost the same exact thing, except it's with a huge, you know, tape deck going like this. And people love that because they're like, oh, it shows like it's authentic. It's like it's the same thing. It's just the technology changed from that huge thing to a pedal, you know.
How dare you tell us we're wrong? How dare you call us out?
It's great, but yeah. They're like, oh, man, there's like some pub singer on TV. He should go back to pub singing when they're talking about Ed Sheeran, right? It's like, it's the same thing.
I can't hear you through my millions of dollars.
Yeah.
That's what I would be saying.
You can say whatever you want.
Whatever. Come back home to my $1 million pad.
Yeah.
All right, so you're doing a great job, Priya. So keep it up and stuff. Just have fun with it, really. That's what shows. Again, in the videos and stuff, you surprise yourself. You're really enjoying yourself. You know, you want to... you look like you're having fun. Some people, like, you know, when I watch them play, like, they're so, like, immersed in, like, getting everything correctly.
Yeah, a lot of times they're nervous, too.
Yeah,
so that's,
but that's for you, and that's... That should be, like, you know, like a nerve-wracking thing, like singing, you know, for your husband and whatever. Like, you learned a song, you took all this time to learn it, and now you're finally doing a video. I would, you know, I would be scared pantsless, you know? And, so that it really showed. It showed that you know, you were having fun, especially when you guys played together, and then your daughter came in with them. That was the youth that he won in Auburn.
Oh,
yeah. Nice. So he won the tiny little ukulele so his daughter's playing and stuff. It was cute. It was really cute. Loved it. All right. So, next order of business, Kai. We are live, by the way, folks. We are live. So, we do have a live chat. If you guys want to ask us anything, type it over in the chat and we'll get to it as best as we can. All right. Is there any chat questions, Kai, that you saw?
This message came in, like, while we're doing this. Mm-hmm. And it's John. And he said, like, in Maryland, overtime, someone hears that I play the ukulele.
Mm-hmm.
They laugh and say, haha, Tiny Tim. I find it really annoying, but I never let it on. I just smile.
Yeah.
Does that ever happen to anyone in Hawaii? And if so, what do you say?
Never here. I think more in the mainland and stuff. Yeah. Someone goes, Tiny Tim. Well, like, he's actually pretty tall. You know, you could just... kind of joke around about it, reflect it. He's like 6 foot something. He's not tiny at all.
If anything, it's like is, right? Somebody will bring up is.
Someone will be like, oh, yeah, somewhere the rainbow, right?
Yeah. I think because Hawaii, we have a lot more famous ukulele players that's not the first thing that people think.
But. Yeah, and if somebody does do that to you, it just shows ignorance and you can just kind of like brush it off. And for me, if somebody kind of like, oh, Tiny Tim, I'm like, yup. And then that's it. Just go about your day. Like, it doesn't, you know, like, it doesn't bother me, like, anymore. I mean, I guess it never really did, but maybe I'm desensitized because I live here in Hawaii, and it's like, you know, if someone makes that comment, they're like, yeah, I guess just ignorance. So, like, yeah, whatever. And, you know, you can't just, you can't let those things kind of get to you. I'm not saying that it did or whatever, but you can't let those things get to you. Whatever people say and stuff, at the end of the day, if it's true, then if it's true. If it's not true, and you know it's not true or whatever, or I don't even know what he's trying to say, but hey, Tiny Tim, I was like, that's pretty good. So you've heard of this before, you know, like that's other than that.
Yeah. And then that's kind of what our show relies on too, is the low expectation.
Yeah, exactly. You know?
So when we go to the mainland,
ukulele on stage.
Yeah. They publicize us as whatever, like a ukulele virtuoso, as like, oh, how good could that be?
And then you go, oh my god.
Yeah, and then show them something that's like, you know, moderately well played, then they're impressed. So it's good.
I think I can understand the sentiment though, because it's like when I do magic, right? People come up and they're like, oh, so, you know, like, America's Got Talent, like, the magicians on there. I'm just like,
yeah. You know, Shin Lim?
I don't know him.
Shin Lim.
Yeah. Because, like, I'm just, like, farther in the rabbit hole, right? Yeah. Like, so I know everybody else. Like, I know, like, magicians who will never show up on TV, but they're, like, fantastic, you know? And they put so much care and love into their craft.
Yeah.
And it kind of is, like, you kind of do, if you're, like, a fan of that person, it's understandable to want them to have, like, some notoriety or some attention to. But at the same time, it's just like, whatever.
Yeah, he's good.
Like, that stuff always happens, you know? It's just like,
right.
There's always going to be somebody who's, like, pretty good at what they do, but they just so happen to get on TV or something, you know?
It's like, I mean, another thing, too, like, I hear that a lot. I mean, you know, he's saying that, like, he set the ukulele back 30 years and stuff. I mean, you can't think of it like that either, okay? Because Tiny Tim, you know, although he kind of presented the ukulele in a way that we might not have wanted, you know? But he still let it, like, put it out there, you know?
Yeah, and he got famous for it. Yeah. So, the more people that even know that it's a thing.
Yeah, it's gone back to like, there's no such thing as bad publicity, whatever, you know? Like, it's people are talking about, it's getting people to talk about the ukulele. So, like, now that people know the ukulele, like, thanks to Tiny Tim, when they see a guy like Jake Shimabukuro, it's like, oh, I've seen those before, but I never thought you could do it like that. Yeah, I never heard it like that. Yeah. Whereas, like, if someone didn't know about the ukulele at all, and then, like, they just saw Jake and stuff, they're like, okay, I guess you could do it. Like, that's cool that you can do that and that. But, you know, it's cool because Tiny Tim sets that, like, that precedent that, like, this is the only thing that this instrument can do. It can only do, like, washing windows or whatever, or tiptoe through the tulips.
Yeah.
And then because he set that up, guys like myself, Jake, Kalei, you know, Taimane can, like, you know, can do what we do, can, like, blow expectations because he set up those expectations. So it's, he really put the ukulele on the map. So we have a lot of, you know, we have a lot to thank to Tiny Tim, really, because, you know, he, although, you know, it's, it was criticized, it was laughed at and stuff, but still, like, people liked it. Some people did, like, enough people liked it that he made, I'm sure, lots of money, like, like, doing it.
And he made people smile.
Yeah, and that's really all that, you know, all that matters. Exactly. Yeah. You know, and you're absolutely correct. George Harrison played the ukulele too, and it was around like the, might not have been like exactly the same time, but it was around that, you know, like way back in the day where people thought that the ukulele was just kind of a novelty instrument. You got serious guys like George Harrison playing it. You got guys like Elvis who's, you know, like featuring it in like in a bunch of films and stuff. So these guys in whatever way, in even though it's like tiny or in big ways and stuff, I think it helps catapult the ukulele to what it is now.
I think another good kind of like reflection on this is like kind of to take what like other people, right? They see the uke and then they're like, oh, it's, you can only do one thing with it, right? Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like the same thing with like every instrument, right? Like people have a perception of like what you can and can't play with every instrument. And there's always somebody who's like, I never knew you could take it to like that level. Yeah. Like that person is, even like the smallest instruments of like recorders or whatever, is like That is a little, that is an instrument that you use to teach kids. How are you playing something like that? What are you doing with that thing? So it's like anything you look at, like if it seems like, that kind of seems like a low level thing, easy, I would say like, don't underestimate it, right? Like, because there probably is, like, you can get into it and then it'll just like take off and there's going to be higher levels.
I have actually played Tiny Tim's ukulele. I have, I've held it, strummed it, and I've played it. It's got a haunting, like, mana to it.
He died on stage.
He died on stage. Not with that nuke, though, I don't think. You know, but
no, I think was that nuke? That was the one.
Oh, that's probably why I got, like, some weird vibes on it. But, like, hey, whatever, Tiny Tim's uke.
Because that was Tim, right?
Yeah, Tim Smithies.
Has it? He said that, I think that is the one that he was playing on stage that, when he kind of, like, and then he died afterwards. But he says that, if you look at that, because it was like a metal resonator, right?
Yeah.
So he says that there is a dent on it.
Oh, from when he fell?
I guess.
Oh, that's so creepy.
Because it's made out of metal, right?
Yeah, I think that is.
I think that's, I remember him saying that. Yeah. I'm not exactly sure, but.
He went to the Czech Uke Fest.
And I think that's what he said.
Did they ever say how they got that, or like how did they even find
I think
that?
He did, but I forgot. I don't want to, like,
it's kind of a roundabout story where it changed hands a few times and somehow he got in possession of it. And that's why they're called Dead Man's Uke.
It's based on Tiny Tim's.
That sounds like an awesome story, like that, if we have on the podcast.
I would love to have the Smithies.
How do we get them?
Just maybe Skype them over. Man, that'd be sick. I think I can make that happen. Those guys are good friends.
So if you guys haven't heard of them, Dead Man's Uke. From the UK.
They're really cool. They're really good.
Ukulele and stand-up bass duo.
And so if you're gonna look them up, check out the song "Do the Don't." Really, really, really cool song. Just gets you up and moving. That's fun. They're a fun band.
Cookie kind of said, like, that's interesting about Tiny Tim. I don't think any of my friends would even know who Tiny Tim is. I kind of feel like I'm the, like, it's kind of the same for all of us, right? Like, where it's like, maybe you know who Tiny Tim is, like growing up in Hawaii, but it's much more likely that you know like Jake or
I didn't know who Tiny Tim was until afterwards,
until we started touring
right? And even like we're talking we just did something with like John Cruise and you were saying
spoilers
I don't think it's like a huge thing, right? Like that's big reveal, but like we just did something with him, and you were saying like Heather was kind of like, is it like rare to do stuff with John
or to just know John Cruise?
I was like, no, he kind of does. Like he does, he plays local shows like all the time. So it's like even if he's not, you know, like we're on Kauai and he's like up from a different island.
Yeah,
it's like he'll probably come here every once in a while, right? Like you'll see him every few years. So it's like you get the opportunity to see those kinds of musicians, you know, when you live in Hawaii. It's kind of cool.
He's a lot of fun to work with. Like I like John Cruise. He's a super laid back guy, and I think I was saying it during when we were filming this past week, and it's like he's done so much things. He's like played in so many stages and all around the world and stuff, but it's like you can't take the island from the boy. You know, you can take the boy from the island, but you can't take the island from the boy, because he's still as like as local boy as possible, and it's ridiculous how local that guy is.
me and Aaron, like we got to see them like rehearse like songs and stuff, and even like it's like when the guys take breaks, it's like it just sounds like, you know, people who like work in Hawaii who are like taking their we go take our lunch break right now, and
it's top like story.
This is not, you know, like these guys are high level musicians, but they are definitely like just down to earth, local, chill guys. Really cool.
All right, so our songs are due. Basically, we have a song challenge that we do here. Let me go get this real quick here on Thursday Live Lesson, and our guidelines were this: it had to be in the key of G, it had to have two minors and one major. So here's the key of G. You just pick two minors and one major off of that. Extras, lyrics, and they have to be about love or heartbreak. Not have to, but kind of Nice little bonus. These are bonuses. False end and also a key change.
Oh, man. Dang it.
So,
you could have done the key change, but...
No, don't worry about it.
Yeah.
I usually go first, so I'm going to go first. I wrote mine last night, so just as a... Because I thought it was next week. So, when Aaron, me and Aaron play on Wednesday nights, and he's like, oh, did you do your song and stuff? I'm like, wait, is that due tomorrow? So I came home and I had to wait until, you know, my entire family's fallen asleep. But let's see. There we go. I hope I do this right. I wrote a love song rap. Because, like, whenever I need to write something fast, just like how we do on the Hello Friday Live Jam, it just has to be rap because I can just, like, write lyrics and stuff and then boom, boom, that's it. I don't have to come up with, like, melody lines for, you know, for the lyrics. It's a lot easier. But this is... thought back to the times where, like, I used to write a lot of love songs and stuff, and that was when I was in my early 20s, like 22, 23. That was, like, my peak of love songs that I wrote. And I played DDR a lot, so this is a love song about DDR and girls who play DDR. So... So those are the three chords I'm using. E minor, B minor, C major 7, that's it. Here I go, I fall in love again. Here I go, I fall in love again. Of the 99 ranch arcade, stacking quarters to see you dance, arrows telling feet where they should land, hands on the bar, the song is starting, damn, those moves so hot you need a fan, she's grinding like a bowl of rice and spam. I fall in love again, here I go, I fall in love again. Got me writing journals along with my banjo, alongside pork chop and mosquito. Oh no, tempo, go-go, allegro. But I can wait as my bit to finally stomp into my beat. Loaded quarters into hands, less than insert coin, raise the heat. Mixing up a little thriller, thriller in the middle. And one time, sorry. Songs with my banjo, alongside pork chop and mosquito. Oh no, tempo, go-go, allegro. But I can't wait as my chance if I stomp it to my beat. Loaded quarters into hands and let's insert when it is the key. Mixing it up with a little thriller in the middle. End it with some max you conjure for the real. Look at her direction just to check for her approval. She's already left to trade Pokemons with her cables. Now I fall in love again. Here I go, I fall. Okay, that was terrible. But I wish I'd practiced this, because I wrote like a key change in there, because it's supposed to this second verse really kind of nuts, because it goes oh no, tempo, go-go, allegro, but I can't wait as much and to finally stomp it to my beat. Loaded quarters into hands, let's insert coin and raise the heat. Mixing it up with a little thriller in the middle. End it with some max recondit for all the people real. Look at her direction just to check for her approval. She's already left to trade Pokemon with her cables. Here I go, I fall in love again. It's like right back to the E minor.
What was the key?
It goes a step up and then back a step down. Like, one more time. It goes, she's got, She's got them beats, Patty Mayo. Got me writing journals and songs with my banjo, alongside pork chop and mosquito. Oh no, tempo, go-go, allegro. But I can wait as much and finally stomp it to my beat. Loaded quarters in two hands, listen to recording and raise the heat. Mixing it up with a little thriller in the middle. End it with some max 300 for the real. Looking at her direction just to check for her approval. She's already left to trade Pokemon with her cables. Here I go, I fall in love again. That's it. Here I go, I fall in love again. Mixing it up with a little thriller in the middle. End it with some max 300 for the real. That was my like false ending.
Nice.
All right, so that's it. Okay, Kahai, usually. Whew, that was tough.
Yeah, I didn't like. I was trying to work on this too, and nothing would come out. So just kind of push it off, and then work on it again, and I didn't really like it, so. Yeah, so I didn't really, I just wrote pretty much all of the song yesterday, just because I knew that it was coming up.
I started like 1 o'clock or so, they ended at like 2:30 because I was just like so tired. I'm like, yeah, this is fine. But now that I'm like singing and stuff, I don't know if those were.
I don't know. I didn't really get to practice it. So
okay, but it's fine. Got those three chords in. I got my key change. I got my false ending. I did it.
Nice.
Okay, go ahead, Kai. Tell us about yourself.
He's trying to get it to work right now.
No, I got it. I'll just play it.
Okay. Yeah. Oh snap, two false endings. Nice.
And just putting one last, like, not even like another, you know, like verse or whatever, just a boop, like to make you think like, oh, it's gonna start again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I was like looking up false endings, the ones that always just caught me were the ones that faded out.
Oh yeah, and then backing and up. And then
they, yep. Because like, it's a recording, so it sounds like that's.
Yeah, I think
it's, even if I know it's coming, it's like, oh, okay.
And then that's kind of like a popular that fade out like false end and then come back in, right? It's pretty popular in like 80s music. So it's like,
yeah,
80s pop music, you're bopping along, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's the end of the song. Oh, no, one more verse. Come on.
Yeah.
I'm going again. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Like, I tried to, you know, like, I'm a terrible lyricist. So, like, I can't write, you know, lyrics, and like, I wasn't even good at writing like poems or, you know, stuff for school, so like I kind of tried to write stuff, but then I'm just like, I don't know what I'm doing, I'm just not really writing, you know, a song. And as I was doing that, I kept trying to like write something kind of like what you did, Aaron, where it's like, you know, John Mayer, like Gravity, like where it's supposed to be one word, so kind of that style too. I tried to with this song, I like I already started writing it like kind of, I think, with that same idea where there's, like, just a lot of open space, you know? And the, like, whoever is, like, going to sing over it or whoever is going to play over it, they have all that empty space where they can just do whatever they want.
So. Yeah, I mean, it feels like it should be a song, like, with vocals lyrics, on top of it.
That's
should have done, like, a sexy sax solo. Like, instead of lyrics, you know what I mean? Like,
I have the sax come in kind of for, like, that second chorus. Yeah. Sax and horn, right? Yeah.
But it was background. Like
background.
Yeah,
I need sexy like, sax.
Filled in some of that.
Yeah.
Like, another, like, band, too, that I kind of liked is, like, Lawrence. So, like, that kind of their groove where they do a lot of, you know, like really simple songs where it's like only two chords. This song is actually like the chords are kind of weird and it's different, but kind of that same vibe where it's just like empty space, you know, like the instruments aren't really doing a lot.
Really, like I think R&B is, you know, has got a lot of empty space, and that's like an anticipation thing, you know, like they purposely put those empty spaces to like, oh, what's next?
Yeah. And then this one would have been an easy one to do the key change because you do that step up.
Kind of.
There's like there's a part, a section of it where it kind of goes, you know, from a major, then a minor step, then minor step, and then you could have gone higher from there.
There's a lot of like chords in the song. Like, I'm not really sure if this song is. I played like the sax parts and I played stuff in the key of G, but the chords are like it's a G major 7, then it goes to a D minor 7, and then it goes to a minor 7, and then to a C sharp or C minor 7.
Nice.
And then it goes like the verse or the breakdown kind of part is a C. Then C minor, then B minor, and I think it goes.
It sounded like it was like a 7-2 back to the 4.
I know it like it changes or something, or E minor. I think it goes. So it's like C minor, B minor. And an E minor like that, and then that's like the rise part.
Nice,
yeah.
And to the 5,
and then to the next key.
You know,
but like that's
right there.
Yeah.
So like the chat is kind of exploding with
title
comments. John says that Kai's song needs is a great Barry White vocal on top of it,
and John's wife wants your phone number.
this might be my favorite of yours so far.
Pretty good.
I
still like the Adventure Time one. Like, that's my favorite. This is a close second. I love this.
It's like I was thinking like I have no idea mm-hmm. how you guys, like, you know, conceptualize, like, writing. Because when I write songs, I just think about, like, melodies and harmonies mm-hmm. and kind of beats, you know? Mm-hmm. Not, like, even the rhythm, too. It's, like, that's not my forte. It's more, mm-hmm. like, when I get into writing, it's all the harmonies. Like, yeah. I'm looking at it, like, mm-hmm. how can I lay down this, like, interesting harmony? Mm-hmm. And so, like, when I try to, like, think of lyrics, I'm like, what do you do? Like, how do you...
All your brain capacity went into the harmony part.
How do you fit words into this thing?
From experience. Yeah. My experience is I see cute girl playing DDR. And I'm like, let me show cute girl how I play DDR. So I go play DDR. By the time I'm done, she's trading Pokemon somewhere.
Well, it's not... I,
heartbreak.
Maybe it's, you know, like... Yeah, but, like, I feel like it's not that, like, I can't find a topic to write about. Mm. It's just I really don't know how to, like, put words into a melody or into anything mm-hmm. that will, like, fit the song, right? Mm-hmm. Like, and even when I try to, like, think about, okay, like, so, all right, like, I looked at other people. It's like, how do other people do this? And it's like, oh, they find one word that, mm-hmm. you know, like, gravity or something that they can make as the hook, and then you just use, like, other mm-hmm. words too. And I was like, that just, like, blows my mind, though. Like, I have no idea how other people do it. Mm-hmm. I'm just so focused on, like, the instrument side mm-hmm. of things.
Yeah.
I need to find, like, Elton John has his partner, right? Like, who writes all the lyrics. I need to find, that guy.
Yeah, you need a lyric guy.
Yeah. So for me, it's usually, I come up with the chorus first.
Mm.
So, well, first, like with this song, I was just playing around with the key of G.
Yeah.
And then I come up with, like, kind of a chord progression mm. first. And then I start playing the chord. If I find a chord progression that I kind of like, I start playing it. And then I start humming, like, a rhythm and a melody line that might fit on top of that.
Yeah.
And then I just say the first words, like, in that rhythm mm-hmm. that sound mm-hmm. sound like they would fit there.
Yeah.
And then kind of like explore that, poke at it and mm-hmm. figure out to see, like, there's because
insert syllable here.
Yeah. If like you know,
I get that.
Da 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 da.
Yeah.
If what would sound good coming
carrot
out
at peas.
And you just say things and then it whatever that comes out, like, mm-hmm. oh. And most of the time it is, like, something that you've been thinking about mm-hmm. anyway, mm-hmm. but haven't really been able to mm-hmm. say. Mm-hmm. So this, okay. I gotta find my lyrics.
Oh, look at the lyrics.
Yeah.
I gotta pull it up still.
Experiencing it for the first time.
When I tried to do that word, right? Like, it's just like, oh, I'll just spit some words and it'll go over this. It's like, hats. It's like bad rappers, right?
Yeah.
Ah, man.
So the song is called A Better Life. Mm. And I guess I'll kind of go into it. Oh, man. Let's see. I gotta make this a little bit
smaller. It already sounds good. it sounds good from, like, the title alone. It sounds pretty good. What'd you call yours, Kahan? People are wondering.
I don't know. I didn't even need... Like, I just wanted... Mm-hmm. I don't know... I'm gonna name it one lyric song, and it has no lyrics.
No lyrics.
Oh, yeah. And just right at the end, you're like, "Thank you."
Instead of what is that Kingdom Hearts song?
Simple and Clean.
Yeah, somebody just said "Simple but Smooth."
Simple but Smooth.
They're talking about lyrics, but I kind of like that. Mm. Simple but Smooth. I'm gonna take that.
All right.
Yeah. Even in my home, always told you. Ooh, anything that you wanted to be is there for you to take it. But now that you are older, I'm letting you go and waiting to see your luck if you should make it. And at night, I realize that all my life I've shown and sacrificed in the hope that you just might make a better life.
In that, like, right before the false ending, mm-hmm. where you went C and D and stuff,
yeah.
I thought you were gonna go C minor, and I'm like,
you gotta set it up for the false ending.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so
nice. So good. Okay, talk about it.
So, like, when I was playing around with G, I was thinking Carly Rose.
Okay.
So, like, you know,
because all last week, like, we were when what's his name Abe when yeah. Abe was here, yeah. all we were doing is playing Carly Rose all day,
playing and, like, Kyle Critter Boys.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah. So after that, and then after you talking about, like, all of your songs are about L now.
Yeah.
You know, so I already had that in my mind, and I was thinking, like, oh, like, I should just do kind of like a Carly Rose, because like here in Hawaii, during that time period, like in '90s, when bands from Hawaii would put out an album, there would be that one Carly Rose-ish song.
Yeah.
You know, so like Island Rhythms had Darcy's Lullaby, and then Kapena had Kalena Ku. You know, so I was like, I wanted to write a song like that.
Is that trippy that you know Kalena Ku now?
Oh, yeah. And it's weird that they play it.
Yeah, yeah. Like, she plays
it. They play it, and she's in the band now.
Sorry, side note. Yeah. I keep going.
Yeah.
But, like, that's kind of like Stevie Wonder, right? He plays Isn't She Lovely?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And his daughter, that's about, like, she sings with him.
Now, yeah.
So I was like, oh, my God. It's and she's a grown lady.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I was thinking along those lines, and then I was, like, writing stuff, and then it wasn't coming out, and I realized it's because I don't have anybody in my life that is like a baby, that, like, oh, this is precious baby that I need to, like, you know, take care of and stuff. And so I started thinking about, like, last month when I was gone, the week that I was gone, I was in Vermont for my niece's graduation. And so my brother has 4 kids. They're all kind of grown already. They're teenagers and kind of adults already. And so I started kind of exploring that idea.
Nice.
And so my brother lives in Vermont, in, like, not just Vermont, like a tiny town in Vermont, you know? And so, like, there, people just kind of, like, do whatever is available in the town. There's not too much, like, you got to leave in order to, like, make something of yourself.
Yeah.
And so, so I was thinking about that, like, you know, just not, like, you know, everybody wants to be more and do more and create and achieve more. But a lot of times, if you're in, like, a town like that, you know,
it's like Kauai.
It's hard to see beyond. Kind of like Kauai, kind of like any country town. And so I started writing kind of about that, like, not like having aspirations, but not even really seeing a way to make it possible. And so yeah, and then thinking about, like, my nieces and my nephews, and then, like, maybe if I try to break the mold, get out of, you know, this situation, it'll help inspire them to, you know, become more and follow their dreams and stuff. So that was the kind of the idea of the song.
I like that John said this would be a great theme for a new Netflix series. And, like, while you're playing, I kind of laughed at that because I was thinking, like,
some rom-com.
Like, we
the
could
middle.
Let's record this, and we'll have, like, maybe some uke, some guitar, some, like, you know, tinkly little mandolin stuff. And then have, like, just a bass drum, right? Like, every once in a while, like, doom.
Yeah.
Doom. And then it's like, I could just see the Netflix series already where it's like, a family moving to a new town.
Yeah. Like, should make like a fake trailer.
The song he's gonna play, right? And then it's like the girl, it's like the girl, the teenage girl of the family, has her head against the glass. She's like, I don't want to move to this town. It's so lame. So I was like, oh man, this is a great. Let's get it done already. You can get it done.
All right, so good job, gentlemen, everyone. Good job. Good jobber. That was a fun one. I mean, like, even though I did it kind of last minute and stuff, and I was still doing it, it was a super fun one because it kind of allows us to just get stuff down. Like, it's good. We're like kind of just sharpening the knife, you know? Like, we've all been like songwriters before, but this just kind of keeps us sharp.
I was thinking about this, and we're gonna leave this challenge open for another week, for other people to send in their submissions. But I was thinking, like, maybe the next challenge, what if instead of writing a new song, it's that you have to take one of the songs you've done before and, like, you know,
reimagine it,
or, like, you know, if you feel like I could have added more to it, I could have done like a second verse or whatever.
Yeah.
Because, like, how you guys were saying, like, oh, I should have done a key change.
Yeah.
Like, now that I like, you guys said that, I'm like, I could have done a key change. Why didn't I?
It was pretty easy in that song, too.
Yeah, like, why? Yeah, it felt like I could have
built to that. That's where, like, it was supposed to, where it was gonna go.
So, it's like, maybe we can do that. Like, leave it open, right? Like, instead of it being, like, a set, like, you gotta write a song like this. It's just, like, if you wrote a song in the previous week, just take, previous weeks, take your old song and then try to redo it again, or like add more to it or something.
What was funny was because you mentioned that, like, I really only write songs with my kid now, and so because that song wasn't about my kid, I didn't like, I didn't have that connection with it and stuff. I felt really disconnected with this recent songs, because, like, I just want to get this done. I just want to write stuff, like, just write something funny or whatever, like, or whatever, you know, just maybe something witty, something like nice with a good, like, whatever beat. And that's basically what it was. Just like, it was just words, like words, but it didn't have like that kind of personal connection. So
because that's always the stereotypical advice, write what you know, and it's not, I mean, it's good advice.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's almost like it's easier if you just write what you know.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It just kind of flows.
I think more. And I think, like, every songwriter has also experienced the writing a song just like, I just gotta write a song or something. Like, and writing one where it's just like, oh, this is okay, but it's not like, I know, like, John Mayer, right? He's like, Daughters is okay, but man, like, you know, I have other songs that I play too if you guys want to hear it. Like, it's an alright song.
But
don't you guys want to hear my better songs? Yeah. I just want to hear Daughters. That's fine. I guess I need a new watch.
But even John Mayer too, he's kind of quoted as saying, like the songwriting process is just an exercise of you getting comfortable with going down into those depths.
It is.
And then figuring out how to pull something out of it.
Yeah, like you're meditating, and it's like a sense of meditation, because you're like searching for words and ways to describe, like, you know, like what you're kind of feeling inside, really. But it sounds super cliche and stuff, but there is, like, you get down there, like, oh man, I'm gonna write about that. Like, once you really connect with something, you're like, I'm gonna write about that, and it comes out. Like, it comes out really, really, really fast if it's something that you connect with. So it's really cool. Yeah. It's a good practice.
So the more comfortable you are with just going down there, because most people don't even want to see that. Like,
no,
you know, they don't want to get to that uncomfortable. Like, oh, I really do feel like this. Oh my goodness. So if you get comfortable with that, it gets easier,
right? Because I mean, imagine, like, being the you know, the big shot musician guy having to write the lyrics. My heart does the tango. you're like this smooth operator on stage and stuff, and there you go writing lyrics like, my heart does the tango. If you talk like that in real life, you know, it's like, oh man,
yeah,
come
you gotta
on,
be
man.
Really comfortable,
like,
with
exactly,
yourself.
Exactly. It's stuff like that that I think about sometimes. I'm like, because it's great in song. And stuff,
No
one talks like that,
fantastic.
You know, like, really. So it's something that you have to be comfortable enough to write down.
I think, or even, like, if you look at old songs, right, like Mr. Sandman, like, when they originally sang that, like, and they there's, like, a live performance of them singing, and people just start laughing because they listen to the lyrics. And it's like, that kind of is goofy lyrics, but mm-hmm. as a song, it's like pretty good.
Yeah, it works. It, so yeah, so I, that's kind of any creative process is like being able to express something that you may not want to consciously say, but your subconscious like really needs to express it. So yeah.
Watch when Kai goes and meets his nephew. Was it you're having a nephew soon?
Yeah.
Kai beats his
nephew. Carly Rose song.
Like, oh my god, I'm gonna write a million songs. I guarantee. Like, you know, hold him for the first time. You're like, this is awesome. Yeah.
I don't know.
Your life's gonna change.
He already has a nephew, and he doesn't feel that way.
The thing I feel about my current nephew, is like,
because it's like your cousin's kid, right?
Yeah, and he's like, he's 10, so you know, I can mess with him and I do stuff to him. Like that's. That's the thing that I told Aaron is like, I gotta be careful because with my nephew, like the first thing I do when I see him is like, I run up and I like just go like, whoa, and I like fake punch him in the stomach, right?
Yeah.
And I saw Mason and I was like, oh, I can't do that. That's another
somebody else's kid.
Yeah. Like, so it might, I don't know if I'll have, I probably will, you know.
You probably have your own thing with that, with the new nephew.
Yeah. We already call our, you know, my nephew, we call him Gohan, like in the family. And that is not his name. And that's just his dad was like, oh, yeah, we're going to name him Gohan, right? Mm. And my sister is like, no, absolutely not. Yeah.
But this is his first name. It's Gohan Goku Luffy.
Yeah, none of us have given up that name yet. Like, we haven't stopped calling him that. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, so it's going to be good, man. It'll be like, I'm excited for you. You know what I mean? Because this is your sister's kid. It's not like your cousin's kid.
Yeah.
It's going to be super different.
Yeah.
So, I'm stoked for you, man. Because, now, like, I did notice a difference between, like, if I write something for my kid or something that at least I connect with and stuff.
Yeah.
And just writing for fun is, like, it's apples and oranges, really. Because, I mean, still, like, writing for fun is fun. Like, it still came out okay. But, like, man. Yeah, let's revisit some of our old stuff. I'm curious. Because after I sing it here, I forget about it.
Yeah, I totally forget.
I forget about it. So I'm curious to kind of go back and see what, you know, some of the stuff that we did and maybe kind of rework it. Yeah, maybe I'll do that for next challenge.
Because a lot of my songs too, I kind of feel like, oh man, if I only had a few more days, I could have maybe done another verse or something, or another like done, you know, not change the whole thing, but then done like the same, like again, like a verse where it's a different iteration of that part or something. So
yeah,
we'll see. Yeah,
should be good. All right, guys, thanks so much. By the way, there's no one-on-one coaching after this, but tomorrow we will be heading out to the Summer Uke Fest over in San Francisco. I know I said I was going to post something this past weekend, but we posted something else this past weekend, so I'll be posting that later on today. You can win tickets to this Sunday's performance if you live in the San Francisco area. If you haven't gotten your tickets yet, we'll give you guys a chance to win a free ticket to this Sunday's show. Or if you're going and you want to win a ticket for your friend or something, you could totally do that. It's going to be really simple. I think it's just like, follow the Summer SFU Summer Uke Jam and like the photo. I think that's all it is, and then we just pick one from that. So we'll make sure to do that. We'll do that today. Thank you guys so much for watching. We'll see you folks next week. Check out our new stuff. We have Law and Order over on UU Plus Solos. We have that awesome Uke challenge that you put out last week. What else do we have, Kai?
We're having something coming out on Friday, so instead of our jam, because we're going to be flying out tomorrow, I guess.
Yeah, no Aloha Friday live jam, but something is going to be on
coming
our...
tomorrow?
Yeah, like there's a video, it's
just on our YouTube.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know what it is, it's a surprise to me too, guys, like it's going to be great, but check it out tomorrow. We'll see you folks next time, have a great one, and like always, if you guys have any questions or anything like that, if you guys need help with anything, make sure to click that green button on your bottom right hand corner. That'll get to us. We might be out of, you know, we might be out of town this weekend, but we'll get back to you as soon as we can on Tuesday morning. All right, so click that. We'll be glad to help you.
You can also email, like, for everybody
who's
maybe listening to the audio podcast.
Questions at ukuleleontheground.com. Also, make sure you check out our new app. We have a new app, so check that out as well. Okay, all right, guys.
In both the iTunes or the
and the Android store,
and Google Play. So,
All right, guys. See ya. Aloha. Wish us luck. See you again.